Hello, everyone. I hope you are having a wonderful day. I just wanted to come to you and talk about something really quick as a quick reminder to just remain grateful. That is what this podcast was created about, to remain grateful in each and every situation that God places you in, because there is something to hold on to in the lessons, in the journey. There is something that God is doing. And a lot of times we're sitting in so many answered prayers. And so I have recently been reminded of that this journey has been hard. It has been difficult, but I know that it's for my good, and God has given me a lot of the desires of my heart. And it was hard for me to really perceive it. And it reminded me of when it says that God is doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? And I know we hear that scripture a lot of times, and we look at it and we're like, oh, you know, God's doing a new thing. I got to accept it. I got to receive it. But even if you say you receive it and in your mind, because for me, can't speak for you, but for me, and I hope you guys can hear me over the blower or whatever he's doing. But you should be able to hear me. So hopefully I'm louder than he is. So, but sometimes it's hard to perceive what God is doing, but we have to change our mindset. And that's been something that God has been, you know, showing me, that he's brought me out of so many things that I prayed about. He was my exodus. He was my exit out. He's given me a way out of so many things. And sometimes we can't change our perspective because we think that it's going to happen one way. Like yesterday, last night, I was watching this show called Eve, EBE. It's about, it was kind of confusing, and this is just me going on my soapbox, because I was just like, okay, I saved the show and I never watched it. So yesterday, I don't know, for some random reason, I was just like, well, I was looking for something decent to watch. And nowadays I'm just like, I don't have too many things that I watch. So I was like, well, this is an older show and I saved it. So I was like, well, let me go and watch this. So the show is called Eve. It's featuring the rapper Eve, actress, you know, Eve. But in the show, her name is not Eve, it's Shelly. And so when I Googled it, because I was like, well, I thought this was a show about her. You know, like the Jamie Foxx show. You have the Jamie Foxx show, and then you have Jamie plays Jamie, you know, in the show. But in this case, it's called Eve, but Eve in the show is playing a girl named Shelly. So I was confused, because I'm like, huh? How that makes sense? And so basically, long story short, they ended up saying that they named the show Eve because they didn't want to confuse the viewers about which show was hers. And I was like, that's crazy, because I'm confused. I'm watching the show. Obviously, I know she's in it, but I'm thinking like this is going to be like I said, something similar to the Jamie Foxx show, except Eve is going to be like, you know, playing the main character. But I mean, she is one of the main characters, but her name is Shelly. And I was like, well, maybe her real name is Shelly. But I'm like, nah, I Googled her name and obviously that's not her real name. So I was just like, okay, well, that was confusing. And so I was sitting there and I was just like, I couldn't shake it, because I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. You guys chose to make this name of the show Eve to not confuse the viewers, but I'm one of the viewers years later and I'm confused. This doesn't make any sense. And I automatically thought about how God does things, and it doesn't make sense sometimes. It confuses me. And God is not the author of confusion. So we know that sometimes it's just a lack of clarity. Sometimes it's us being in control. Sometimes it's like, well, God, why did you take me all the way around the world when you could have just took me straight through? Even when God delivered the Israelites from Egypt, you know, they were like, well, God, why'd you bring us out here to the wilderness to kill us, right? And then they were crying about food and complaining about food, and God gave them manna from the sky for each and every day, and he said only take enough for the day, because anything over that will spoil. And then on the sixth day you gather enough for the sixth day and the seventh day, because on the seventh day you rest. It's the Sabbath. And food wasn't going to rain down from heaven on the seventh day. So I had to take a step back. Like, I was just like, there was an episode on the show, just outside of the name thing, because like I said, I really got deep into that, because I was like, well, this doesn't make any sense. And again, I was reminded of God's word, that God is doing a new thing in our lives and we have to perceive it. And something so simple as a title to a show it didn't make sense. But then I had to step back and look at my life and say, you know what? A lot of things in my life don't really make sense because God could have did it this way, but he chose to go another way. He chose to make me sit or wait or go to do something that he knew wasn't going to work out, but he let me go because I thought this was going to be the answer to an answered prayer. Whole time, God had a whole nother way out for me. But because I thought I was God, because I thought I had it all figured out, God said, well, you know what? Since you know better, since you got it all figured out, then let's try it your way. And God has done that with me several times. He's given me the okay to do things, and then it backfired, or it didn't go through, or it didn't work. And I was just like, well, God, why'd you allow me to go through that? And God had to remind me that I allowed you to try it your way so that you could remember that my way trumps your way. So you can remember who's God. You're not God. And I understand that you want to have a plan. I understand that you want to get things done correctly, but I need you to trust me and I need you to get out of the driver's seat. Don't even sit in the passenger seat. Get your butt in the back. Like, be a backseat rider. Be a follower of me. Lead yourself to the back seat and let me be the driver of this vehicle. And so I was just like, wow, you know, God really told me up to pieces, okay? But I was just like, wow, like, you're not lying. I had last night after I got done watching the show, when I got ready to come in bed, I just started praying. I was like, you know what, God? There's a lot of things that don't make sense. But when I look at it, I'm like, I really am living in a lot of answered prayers, even though a lot of them didn't happen the way I thought they were going to happen. And fully trust God and say that, you know what, God, I'm not you. I don't have it all figured out. I can't see around the corner. I can barely see down the street. I can't see up the mountain or over the mountain because you sit high and look low. And sometimes it's hard for us to trust God with our lives and our situations because we're so busy in the middle trying to put our hands in it, trying to plan things, trying to do things, trying to figure out how am I going to do this when ultimately the job is not ours to figure out. The weight of what is holding you down is not yours to carry. You have to release it and give it back to God and remain grateful in where you're at. And so I was reminded of, you know, why I even started this podcast. That's the point of this podcast or in my YouTube channel, to remind each and every one of you, and as well as myself, that each and every place that God has placed your feet on, it's for a reason. It's a part of a prayer that you answer. And sometimes it's more than just a prayer. It's sometimes just the desires of your heart, because sometimes we don't even really know what it is that we fully want. But God knows our hearts and God knows the deepest desires that we wish for. And even though, or pray for, not wish, but the things that we pray for in our hearts or what we really want. And then when you get through that thing and you see it through on the outside, you look in and you say, you know what? Now I can understand what you were doing. But while you're going through it, it's a little tougher because it's sometimes hard to step outside of what you're inside of because you can't see what God is doing on the outside because you're in it. Because it's rough, because it's painful, because it's sorrowful, because it hurts, because it's lonely, because it's long, because it went longer than you expected, because things took a turn for the worse sometimes. Things were stripped away from you. I was reminded of Job. Like, Job was a follower of God, and he lost it all, but he still held on to the small things, you know? Reminded himself that I didn't do anything wrong. Even when people was telling him, you ought to just curse God and die. His wife, his friends, telling him that you had to have done something. Sometimes it's not about what you did wrong. It's sometimes about the things that you're doing right. The very steps that you're taking may not be the wrong thing. It may have just been the right decision. But in the right thing and the good things, there's trials, there's tribulation. God never said that we would continue to not face trials. He never said that it would be easy, but he said that he would go through it with us. He said that he would guide us. He would lead us. If we ask, seek, knock, we shall search, find. He'll be there. You know, if we cry out, he'll answer us. He'll hear us. And sometimes, you know, we may think that, oh, God never heard my answer, or not my answer, but God never heard my prayer, or God isn't answering my prayers. But the very thing that you're walking through is an answered prayer. He just didn't answer the way you thought. And for me, that looks like a lot of things, right? That looks like a lot of things. I sat down last night and just was reminded of so many things that I'm just like, you know what, God? I got to be more grateful. Who am I to be sitting here, the host of the Grateful Together podcast, and I can't even be grateful for where I am fully? I can't fully release control and let go to allow you to do what it is that you're calling me to do, because I'm sitting over here trying to figure it out. I'm sitting over here trying to be the author of my own book, and that's not how it goes. And I'm sitting over here questioning, well, God, why would you, that don't make no sense. I could have just did, or I could have just went, or I could have. It gave Israelites. Like, I was one of the Israelites walking from Egypt, questioning, well, God, why didn't you do it this way? Or why didn't you do it my way? Or why didn't it come out the way I thought it was going to happen? Like, you said this, you said that, and I'm not seeing this. And I, like, that literally was me being 100% honest and transparent. Like I said, this journey has been hard for me, and I'm just now learning how to really walk in freedom, how to really be a free woman, and just walk with faith and hold on to the promises of God. No, a lot of things that has happened was not the way I thought it was going to happen, but it is a lot of instant prayers. I remember, for instance, my son, right? I remember when one of my uncles passed, my dad's brother. I remember when he passed. I remember going to his funeral and coming home. And obviously, you know, anytime somebody passes away, it's sorrowful. It's hurtful, you know. And my Uncle Muffin, he was one of the sweetest guys I knew, like, just so. And I remember when I was younger, I didn't appreciate that, because I was like, why he so sensitive? Why he so mushy? And I'm not like mushy type of girl, so I was just like, oh, he gets on my nerves and all that. But he was so, like, peaceful and loving, you know, across the board. Anybody in my family that knows him, or any, you know, of my friends that, I don't think any of my friends met him, but anybody that knows my Uncle Muffin, he literally soft as a muffin, like, just sweet as ever. Like, of course, there's time where I didn't see him get, like, upset. But other than that, like, he's the type of guy where it's just like he's always on the phone just telling you how much he cares about you and how much he loves you and how much he wants the best for you. And, you know, but you also saw, like, just pain and hurt from him, like, just as a person, if you knew his backstory or whatever. And obviously I'm younger, so I don't know too much. But from what I did know from just my family history, I know that he carried a lot of pain too. And, you know, but he was reminding me of, like, when he left this world, you know, he didn't have any kids. He didn't have a wife. I believe he had a girlfriend, but I don't know 100%. But I'm like, dang, you know. And when I got home that night after his funeral, I just started talking to God. And I was like, God, I don't want that to be me. Like, don't get me wrong. And then, like, the more sad thing about it was, even with my father, like, but I remember just having a conversation with God, because, like I was saying, even with my father, like, my dad passed away before his dad did. Like, he passed away before my grandfather did, and literally my grandfather passed away a month after him. And to me, I just couldn't wrap my mind around that, because I'm like, my grandfather was going through a lot medically. And, you know, of course, you always think, like, I remember for the longest, in, like, up until, like, 2000s, when my grandmother passed, my dad's mom, I always felt like, oh, you know, older people go first. You know, that's just the ignorant kind of mindset I had, just because I was a child. I didn't know no better. And then when my grandma passed, I remember thinking, like, well, how did she die before her mother died? Like, what? Nobody ever, because I never remember having a conversation about death and how life worked. And, you know, obviously you learn and you get older and you know people die, but I always thought that, okay, you get old and you die, you know, that fairy tale kind of mindset, because nobody ever sat down and told me, like, oh, you know, this is what happens and da da da. And I remember when she passed away, I had so many questions, because I was like, well, wait, I'm confused. You know, how did Grandma Jackie leave? And she's younger than a lot of people in our family, like, what? And then that's when my dad started explaining to me, like, the health issues she had. And, you know, unfortunately, I think it was either her kidney or her liver. I can't 100% remember, but she was going in for a replacement and she didn't make it, you know? And I remember that took a toll on me, because that was when I started asking questions and I started understanding a little bit better. And I remember that at any moment, at any time, that my life could be taken at the drop of a dime. And that is where I grabbed onto the fear of death. Like, I literally feared death my whole life up until a couple of years ago, up until, like, recently, because God broke it down to me about eternal life in a better way that I could perceive, like, okay, one day I'm not going to be here. But while I am here, I'm going to live the best life that I have. And that may sound crazy, but when you're free and God sets you're free from fear and anxiety. I remember, like, me and my best friend, we both used to just sit on the phone and talk about how the, like, dying scared us to death. Like, I remember just sitting up at home crying about like, oh my God, one day I'm going to die. One day I'm not going to be here. And I couldn't remember where that stemmed from, but I remember. And I remember sitting on the porch one day talking to my aunt, and she asked me like, what is your biggest fear? And I said, I had two biggest fears at the time. And really, that was really my two biggest fears that I took with me for the rest of my life up until recently, you know, because maybe I would say like 3 or 4 years ago, I kind of laid that to rest. I would say 3 years ago, because it was right up until I had my son, because I had a deep conversation with God about dying and everything about how I felt. And he broke it down to me in a better way. So now I'm just like, okay, you know what, God, you're right. I don't have to be afraid of that. I don't have to know how it's going to be. Because my biggest thing was, why is it going to happen? Like, what is it going to do? Da, da, da. I want to know everything. And I know that may sound crazy, but that's how much of a control person I was. And I didn't really realize that. Like, I'm so want to be in control so bad that I want to know how I'm going to go. Da, 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 da. Anyway, so I remember just sitting down and talking to my aunt and telling her that one of my two biggest fears, which stuck with me for the rest of my life, were dying and dying alone. And that stuck with me, because that was my biggest thing. And that's why I held on to people for so long, because I didn't want to be alone. I saw that what that did to people in my family. I saw what that did to, you know, friends that I had in the past. Like, I didn't want to be alone. So I was willing to hold on to people that wasn't supposed to be here, because I didn't want to be in a room by myself. And I said, what is the purpose of being surrounded by people when you still feel alone, when you have people who don't relate to you, who don't have your best interests at heart, who you can't fully be transparent with, who you can't fully be yourself with? What is the purpose of being around these people that aren't healthy for you? You know? And, you know, I really had to dissect that. And I realized that my fear of death came when my grandma Jackie died, because I just couldn't understand it. I couldn't understand how my great-grandmother and my great-great-great-grandmother was here, and my granddad was still here, and my grandmother was gone, because in my mind, she was still young. So I'm like, well, I thought, you know, you live to get old and you die. That's what I was told. Like, and that's when I started asking questions, and it scared the life out of me, because at that moment I realized that any day I could just randomly die. And I don't know what that's going to be like, you know? And so I held on to that. And then recently, up until, a couple of, what would I say? Up until a couple years ago, I kind of just laid that down, and now I have a better heart about it, you know? I have a better heart about it, and I don't get so anxious. And I remember the night of my uncle's funeral, I just couldn't understand it, because I was like, he doesn't have any kids. But then I remembered that, okay, my dad had kids, and I remember the pain that me and my sister carried from losing our dad prematurely. Like, we didn't know our dad was going to not be here for the rest of our lives. We thought he was just, I mean, at that point, I'm older. Obviously, we know at the drop of a dime, anybody could die. But in my mind, I was just like, I don't see my dad not being here, because he's always been there. So to just wake up one day and then it's a new year, literally. He got to go in 1 minute of a new year, a couple minutes into a new year, and his life was taken from us. And that changed our life for the worse. But I also looked at it as, at the end of the day, we get to still be here, a part of his legacy. We carry his last name. And I remember for the longest, I was like, when I get married, I'm not changing my last name, because my dad is my legacy. And just remember that, you know, because I'm here for a purpose. Like, I'm here for a reason. I have to continue to keep my dad's legacy alive, because he meant something to us, and we are still here. We're still standing strong and walking to prove to people that we don't have to look like what we've gone through. I think the biggest thing for me and my sister, which among a plethora of other things, was losing our father, someone who was actively in our lives, someone who that's all we knew, someone who was there for us, who made mountains move for us. But in the midst of losing my dad here, you know, on earth, I grow to have a better relationship with God, because that is where I met God the most. I always had a relationship with God, but I dove deeper. For a long time, I ran from God because I was angry with him about taking my dad. But in the midst of that, that created me to be the person I am today, because now I cling to God so heavy because I don't have my father here on earth. So I don't have that person that I can call. I can sit here and make a call up to heaven and pray and say, you know what, God, I can't do this today. But I said all that to say that I remember just being anxious, because I was like, well, am I ever going to get married? Am I ever going to have kids? Like, I mean, I was at a point where I really didn't want kids, honestly, so I didn't really know where that was coming from. But as I dove deeper, I realized I didn't want kids, but because of my past experiences and because of things I've been through, I was just like, well, you know, I don't have to have kids. You know, I don't want kids. And, you know, once I actually dissected that, I was like, well, you know, I do want kids, but I want kids with the right person in the right way. So when I got pregnant, outside of marriage, let's be real, when I got pregnant, unexpectedly, because I didn't know I was going to be pregnant, but when I got pregnant with my son, that to me was just like the hardest thing to bear, because I was just like, oh, why? Like, why is this happening to me? Like, what? I can't do this. And I remember, you know, like I said, I'm not going to get too much into that because I talked about it enough. But that was a hard time for me. And as I was sitting here yesterday, I was like, you know what, God? I remember at one point sitting up crying because I was like, dang, I'm never going to get married. I'm never going to have kids. I'm just going to die alone. But I just remember, like, just thinking, like, that couldn't happen for me. At one point, I was like, well, I don't even know if I can have kids, you know, because of previous experiences. But, you know, I ended up getting pregnant, and I was just like, well, Lord, I didn't want to have a baby outside of marriage. Like, I don't, you know, and obviously, I could have done more to prevent that. But I have to now realize that, you know, unfortunately, this was a part of God's plan for me. And I'm reminded of that every day, because honestly, if I didn't have my son, a lot of things, I even something so simple as going back to school. I've tried to go back to school because I stopped going after high school. Like, I went to college straight out of high school, but then my dad passed away. And I continued to go to school, but I failed tremendously. And I wasn't able to go back because I couldn't get financial aid, but I couldn't afford to pay for it out of pocket. So I kept trying to go, but then I never could get financial aid. I didn't want to take out any student loans. So I was like, well, I'm just going to have to sacrifice and not go back to school. And then when I had my son, you know, my brother reminded me, like, oh, well, you know, you got a dependent now, so maybe you should try to get into school. And I was like, you know what? I never thought of that. And boom, I literally, you know, tried and I was able to be put in. But then even it was harder because I got to run around when I first got back in school, and they like threatened to take my financial aid again because they're like, oh, you're not taking enough classes. And I was like, no, this is that. So I literally had to write an essay explaining why I failed my classes back in 2013, and why they shouldn't take my financial aid away, what changed. Da, da, da. So I literally had to relive, you know, 10 years of trauma. And that was hard for me because I had to talk about my dad's passing. I had to talk about things that happened, you know, in my living situation. I had to tell why I failed classes. And that was hard for me because I'm like, I'm letting somebody else in to something that I want to be private. But I have to talk about it. And so even though, and in that, you guys, I was mad because I'm like, God, you said I was going back to school, but you never told me I was going to have to do all this. Like, why are you making me go through this again? Why are you making me look over this pain? Why are you making me relive this? You know, I don't like talking about it. I don't want to cry. I don't want to, like, it took me forever to write that essay. I cried in between it. Like, it was just hard. It was very hard for me because I literally had to sit there and write out everything that happened because I knew that it was important. And I had to talk about it so that I can be approved to come back to get my financial aid not taken, you know? So in that moment, that was a hard test for me because I'm like, God, what are you doing? Like, why would you make me do this? You told me I could go back to school, but you didn't tell me I had to do all that. So that was literally a moment where, you know, it was hard to perceive what God was doing because I'm like, I know what you spoke, but this show don't look like it. Like, I'm in school, and then I had to end up paying for one class in that one semester because they took my financial aid away. So I was already not taking enough classes, so then I had to take only one class because that's all I could afford to pay. And then I went through that, and then finally the next semester came after I had to write that essay, pay for the, because even in the appealing process, you still have to go to school and pay for a class because I guess they still want to see, like, are you really serious about school? And so I still had to go to school, so I had to pay out of pocket money I didn't have, but I'm like, I can't stop. I've been in here two semesters. I come too far to quit. Like, I have to keep going. So I mustered up, did a payment plan for the classes, wrote the essay. I had to go sit with an advisor, and then I had to wait for them to make a decision. And so that next semester, one day, it crossed my mind, and I was like, I wonder if I even got approved. I did all this, and what if I don't get approved? Like, God, why would you take me through this pain for them just to be like, no, unfortunately, we're not going to give you your financial aid back? But lo and behold, one day I thought about it, and then I was like, let me check my email. And I literally checked my email, got an email saying that my appeal was approved and I would continue to get financial aid. And so in that moment, I was just like, oh my God, like, thank you, Lord. But going through that, I felt resentment. I felt hurt. I felt pain. I was like, why am I going through this? Like, why am I reliving this trauma? Like, I'm still healing from it. Why are you making me go through this? But in the midst of that, I had to lose something. I had to lose control. I had to lose my side of how I thought it was going to happen and walk through what God had for me. And not only did I end up getting my financial aid back for the semesters, I'm currently still in school, but I ended up getting the money that I paid back for that previous class. I ended up getting it back in that semester. So I was grateful for that because, like I said, I needed my money. So they ended up refunding me the money and giving me, you know, my financial aid. So that was a blessing. But in the midst of it, I was just like questioning God. I was upset. I was complaining. I was mad because I'm like, God, you never showed me this in the blueprint, you know? And isn't that just like us to question God when we're going through something? Because the promises doesn't look like what he said it was going to look like. It doesn't look like that pretty little cupcake with the frosting on top and the sprinkles on top. It comes and it may be tossed in to and fro, and the cupcake may have been smeared, but it's still a cupcake. It's still the promise. And so it was hard for me because I'm like, well, God, you never showed me this. You never told me this, you know? And then also, just coming to the point where I realized that, you know, my son's father, that relationship, that door has really closed, you know? And that was hard for me because I'm like, well, God, you know, I really wanted to, you know, be with the person that I have a child with and da 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 and da da. And that's why I held on so long. And that's why, you know, and again, fear of being alone. Just a bunch of different things of why I still held on to our relationship. And so really walking away and actually permanently closing that door was the hardest thing I had to do because I had to erase the thought of this would be the person that I would spend the rest of my life with because that time had come to pass. And now, I mean, we're going to be doing life together, but doing life together when it comes to co-parenting and parenting for our son. And so, you know, I've been trying to navigate through that. But in the midst of it, I was just like, well, God, why would you let me be with this person for 10 plus years? And we're not even going to end up being together. Like, why would I have a child from this? Like, I just was questioning and questioning and questioning and questioning. But again, I had to let go of the idea that I created because I do, in the long run, want to be married. And I do want to have a healthy relationship and have a healthy household to create for my son. I don't want to create the same trauma and environments that I was in, you know, not shaming my family or whatever, but I want to create a different dynamic. And so to do that, you got to step outside your comfort zone. You got to step into, okay, you trying to do things God way. You got to step into his presence and continue to follow him. But sometimes that doesn't make sense because I'm just like, well, God, if you know this wasn't the person I was going to be with, why would you allow me to get pregnant from this man? Why would you allow me to be with this man? Because before I got pregnant with Noah, we were dating on and off for what, 8 years, 7 years? You know, this is somebody I've been with for the last decade of my life, you know? So to come into grips to say, dang, I'm never going to be with this person again in that way was the hardest thing I had to do because this is the person that I'm so familiar with. I know him inside out. It's familiar. I know how things are going to go, but I had to release it. But in the midst of that, I was hurt. I was upset because I'm like, well, God, you know, you could work it out if you wanted to, like, rationalize it, telling God what to do again, not being able to do. But, you know, that was one of the hardest times for me because I'm like, you know, you have to really let go of the ideas that we create in our mind to be able to perceive the plans that God has for us. And sometimes that's hard because it looks like walking away from a relationship that you've been in for a long time thinking that that was going to be your forever relationship. Sometimes it looks like walking away from friendships that, you know, people who you thought were going to be in your life for a long time and now God's telling you to separate from them. That looks like letting go of a job that you thought you were going to be retiring from, you know? That looks like going to a new city where there's nobody you know. That looks like just setting healthy boundaries when people are going to reject you and calling yourself to a different lifestyle and people aren't going to perceive you better because you shine light on their darkness. So now you're losing people just because you're trying to elevate and you're trying to go up. But sometimes, and in the midst of that, it's painful. It's hurtful. It causes more trauma and issues in what it is that you're doing because it makes you think, well, dang, these people are really rejecting me, but the whole time they're not rejecting you. They're pushing away who they are because they haven't come to, like, they are rejecting you because you shine light on their darkness. So they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting God, you know, in a way. But we don't see it like that. We see it as, oh, you know, people, because people start saying like, oh, you think you're better than me, or you think this and that, and the whole time, I'm no better than nobody. I'm just trying to be the person God created me to be, but in the midst of that, that looks like who I show up as today. And a lot of people can't take the new version of you because it shines light on their darkness, but that's okay. And so I had to remember that a lot of these things that I'm going through are answered prayers. I remember at one point feeling like, dang, I'm going to die alone. My biggest fear. But here I am today, a mother of a 3-year-old toddler. You know, I'm going to one day be married and be with the person that is supposed to be in my life, you know, just by letting go of the wrong relationships. One day I'm going to have those friends that show up for me the way that they're supposed to, just by separating and doing what God has called me to do. And that's painful because these are people that I've done life with. And one day I'm going to be that entrepreneur who elevates because I was able to let go of the job that God told me to remove myself from because he has greater for me to do his work. But sometimes when you're in it, you can't see that. When I was pulled from my job every day, it's about to be 4 months exactly. And every day I've been just like, God, murmuring, complaining. And I'm like, well, God, why? You could have put me in another department. You didn't have to take me from the company. You know, you could have gave me another year. I could have prepared because I literally found out a month before I was leaving that I was leaving. So I didn't have time to save. I didn't have time to pre-plan. It was literally a, this is what's happening. I want you to put in your notice this day. I gave a 30-day notice and I stayed 32 days. And after 32 days was up, God told me in 2024, by January 1st, do not. You can work up until whatever the last day of the month is for December in 2023 for the bank. But January 1st, you are not to be employed by this company. And if you go against that, you know, it's up. Like, whatever, you know. Because then that's just you creating your own plan. Let's be real. If I would have stayed, it would have continued to be, you know what, I'm just going to stay. Because at this point, no. But, you know, in the midst of that, I'm like, you know, I remember just being able to say, you know what, God, I want to have my own design firm. I want to be able to get, you know, to flip property. Like, just remembering those prayers. And I'm like, now I'm in school doing the very thing that I remember asking or just looking forward to a long time ago. So I said all that to say, it was a bit long-winded, but I said all this to say that everything that you're going through right now has a purpose. It's an answered prayer, you know, and for me, that looked like a lot of different things. My son was an answered prayer. It didn't come the way I thought it was going to, but God showed up and reminded me that you're not going to die alone. Yeah, you're going to leave this world alone, but you're not going to go through life alone because I've given you a son. No, it didn't come the way you thought it was going to, but that's okay because I'm a God who gives grace. I'm gracious. I'm merciful. You can come to me. You can turn away from your sin. You don't have to look at your child as resentment and shame. You can look at him as the blessing I allowed you to carry. And I'm grateful because now each and every day, he's one of the biggest reasons why I get up and do what I do. I keep going because I can't sit here on my behind, barely trying to figure it out. I have to make it work. And I was reminded of the nights I used to cry about that very thing. And now I'm just like, you know what, God? Even though it didn't come with the wedding ring and the husband, you answered a prayer because, like I said, I didn't even think I was going to be able to have kids. And God said, yeah, okay, you'll have them at my time. Blessing, children are a blessing from God, so he allows you to have them at the right time. You know, I remember when I first started working at the bank, I remember writing down like a bunch of stuff I wanted to do, women's retreats and women's ministry and all this stuff. And then I just kind of let it sit because I was like, well, I have to do this later on because right now I got to focus on where I'm at. And God is just, and I remember when I first got to Bank of America, I said, I don't know why, but I feel like this is going to be my last stop before I actually do what God's called me to do. I don't know. And to this day, I don't know where that came from. I don't know why I would say that, but lo and behold, this was the last stop before God took me out and put me into what I'm supposed to be doing. And I remember praying and writing these things down years ago. Like, even there's people, coworkers that I worked with when I first started off at the bank. I just remember talking to them about how I wanted to do, like, women retreats and women this and women that and do this and do that. And just talk and tell my testimony and all this stuff. So to be here doing it today, even though, you know, it's the beginning stages, it still matters because it's an answered prayer. No, it didn't happen the way I thought it was going to. I thought I was going to have savings, obviously. I thought I was going to have, you know, a plan. God said, no, I'm your plan. That hurt. That's painful because you're going from, I've been with the company since, what, 2019. I've been working all my life since high school. So to come up out of being able to create your own stability and say, you know what, God, I trust you with my finances. I trust you. And God has provided each and every day. But that's hard because you got to really hone in and trust God and hold on to your faith when it looks like you're going to lose everything. God shows up and he saves you. He saved the day in the nick of time, and not even at the nick of time. He saved you at the right time. So I'm remembering to just be grateful, to do what I can with what I have today. And that's something that God has been telling me. Just remain grateful with the little things. Thank God for you have anything that comes up for you today. Handle what you can handle today, because tomorrow will have its own trouble. Do what you can do today. Live life for today, because the next 24 hours is not guaranteed. Remember that everything that you're walking through, you pray for one at one point for better finances, better stewardship over your money. So if stuff wreaking havoc through your finances and you've been having to figure it out in different ways or whatever that looks like, just remember that, you know what? This is teaching me something. Relationships, if stuff is falling apart with your relationship and people keep coming in and out, and now God's calling you to set boundaries, remember, God is teaching you something. This is something that's going to help you for the prayers you used to pray. Sometimes, and I know I'm 31 years old, I've been praying for a long time. There's prayers I don't even remember praying, but God remembers. And he reminds me of those prayers each and every day as I'm walking through. Like, for instance, I'm going to close with this, but even when I got pregnant, I told you guys, I was sick as a dog. But I also remember praying. I was like, God, when I do have kids, I don't want to blow up. I don't want to be big. Because I've always struggled with my weight. I struggle with, you know, I've always been taller, thicker, you know. So in middle school, because I have hips and thighs and all that, I wore different sizes. Even though, obviously, there was girls bigger than me. But I don't know. People just always paint this picture like I was just this big old person. And if you knew me in high school and if you see me back then, you're like, girl, you're just the smallest thing. But back then, I thought I was big as a house, okay? Because that's how people made me feel. I remember being in rooms with people who were the same size as me, but their people would be like, oh, well, you know, what size you wear? And I'm like, we were the same size. Like, why are you playing? And so that created just insecurities in me. And even now, I struggle with it because I'm just like, oh, and I don't even want to get into that, but I struggle with that. I remember going school shopping, breaking down in the dressing room because there was some pants I wanted and I couldn't fit them. They were my size, but I couldn't fit them because I had too much hip. I had too much butt and they just wouldn't fit. And I'm like, I know these are my size. I don't want to be in high school wearing like 15, 16, 18. Like everybody else is smaller than me. But that's just what it was. And I remember like, so I used to pray and I'm like, Lord, you know, I know this is a crazy prayer to pray, but I can't do that. I say, you know, help me to, you know, when that time comes and I do get pregnant, you know, for my husband, look, and I'm not married. Okay. But when I do get pregnant, I don't want to blow up because you know how I struggle with my weight. You know how I struggle with my appearance sometimes and da da da. And so, I was sick as a dog my whole pregnancy and I lost a lot of weight. I couldn't eat a lot of stuff and that was hard for me. But when I came out of it, God reminded me, you remember that prayer you prayed to me about how you didn't want to gain all this weight? This is the way I answered that. You still ate. You still was drinking water and eating food, but you just couldn't do it the way you used to. And sometimes God does a thing and it doesn't make sense. Because I'm just like, nah, God, you could have just really did a different thing. You did not have to make me be sick for 9 months. But sometimes we don't know the capacity of what we're praying. Sometimes it takes for us to be, for lack of better words, puking every day, for us to not have an appetite, for us to not just want to get up. Sometimes that's what it takes in order for that prayer to be answered. So remain grateful for whatever it is that God is doing, because I guarantee you what you're going through right now is an answer to a prayer you prayed recently, you prayed previously. And like I said, I'm 31 years old. I've known God for a long time. I prayed many prayers. And I keep journals because I try to, you know, journal and write. And I have, like, the last 5 years, I go back and read them things. And I'm like, dang, I didn't even know I was praying like that, like, praying about that. Like, sometimes we forget, but God doesn't forget. He remembers every single prayer from the ones we prayed as a little kid to teenagers to high school to college to adulthood to when we get older, God knows each and everything that we've been asking for. And sometimes the answered prayer that God has for us shows up not looking like what we asked for. But you got to take it. You got to go through it, because when you get to the other side, you'll see, wow, no, this didn't come the way I thought it was going to come. I didn't know I was going to have to quit my corporate job and just walk out on faith. And I remember last year, I literally prayed for that. This year in 2024, my prayer was that I had steadfast faith, unwavering faith. And what is God teaching me in this year? God has been teaching me to hold on to my faith. Your trust is in me. Your help comes from me. It's levels to this. Like, this is the hardest thing I've ever had to do. And I'm some people like, girl, you gave birth. Birth for me was easy. I told you guys, the easiest thing about having my son was pushing him out. The labor was the best part of my pregnancy. But I can appreciate the sickness now because I know what God was doing. You know? But this has been the hardest thing, because I literally have been walking on faith and living by the grace of God. Literally. There's no secret to this. It's literally me just staying in community and relationship with God. Asking God, okay, God, what do you want me to do about this, this, and this? How do you want me to show up? And God said, I want you to stop planning. I want you to stop trying to figure out the how and trust the who. Trust me with it, because I took you from your job. So I have control over your finances. I know what's due. I know what's coming up. Trust me. Keep living your life. Keep building. Keep doing what I called you to do. And let me do what I do. I'm God. And so I just wanted to encourage you, because I don't know what you're going through, but I know what I'm going through. And even in the midst of it, I've been having to tell myself that, wow, I really am lit. I can write down, I can sit here and go on for days about what God is answering in my life. And all of them don't look like what I've been praying, but I realize that if you change your perspective, you'll see that this is an answered prayer. Like, literally. But sometimes those answered prayers shows up looking like they're not from God, or it looks different. And you're like, well, what's going on? What did I do to them? Whole time you ain't did nothing to them. Remember that prayer you prayed? And you asked God to remove, reveal, expose? This is what he's doing. Perceive it. Sometimes it's not about you. It's nothing you did. It's everything you did right. That prayer. So I just want to encourage you to remain grateful through every situation, because it's an answer to a prayer that you once prayed. And I know it may be hard, and I know it may be tough, but hold on to your faith. Hold on to God. Trust him more than you trust what you see. Trust him more than what you feel. Trust him more than what your flesh wants you to do. Don't move on feelings. Don't move off of haste. Be patient and trust God with whatever it is you're going through. Because if God said it, he's going to do it. And ask God to open your heart to perceive what it is you're doing. That's what I've been doing this whole time. Because like I told you guys, I was complaining and moaning and groaning. Like, God, you could have did this. You could have waited another year. You could have da-da-da-da. You could have da-da-da. And now I'm thinking, you know what, God? I thank you for this answered prayer. I thank you for helping me have unwavered faith, to be steadfast, to pray prayers that I believe in my heart that I know are going to come true, even when it looks like all the odds are against me. But you are still good. You are still God. So I hope you guys take this, and I hope you apply it to your life, and just ask God to change your eyesight, change what you see, and help you remember what it is that he's doing. He's doing a new thing, y'all. Perceive it.